Welcome to another edition of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit HaDashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. This is a ministry devoted to the evangelization of the Jewish people in the land of Israel and teaching the whole counsel of the Word of God to the body of Christ, the New Testament Church. We are a twofold ministry. We seek to educate Gentile Christians about the Jewish roots and nature of their faith, and we seek to reacquaint the Jewish people with the proof from their Bible via messianic prophecy that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah of Israel. Well, last time we left off in our great series called great in that it is a big subject, and that would be the great doctrines of the Bible. We have been looking at the doctrine of sin, what systematic theologians call hamartiology, which derives from the Greek word hamartia, which means to miss the mark. Literally, in the Greek, that word hamartia, it's translated into the English word sin, means to miss the mark. Well, miss the mark of what? Miss the mark of God's standard of moral perfection. Now, some say that in the Greek, the word perfect means complete. That's true. But at the same time, you can complete something and still be imperfect. So it doesn't always mean just mere completion in Scripture. The Greek word perfect, it also means something or someone without flaw, without sin, hence sinless. And in that sense, you can only be morally complete when you are sinless, morally perfect. So just an aside there. But we were talking about man's fall into sin. This would be man's fall into sin, part two. Nowhere in the Bible is evil attributed to God. The origin of it, the perpetuation of it, the commission of evil or sin, it comes from two sources. From Satan, who was the first to sin against God. Therefore, he is the author and arch sinner. And then mankind, secondly, disobeyed and sinned against God. So the problem of evil is not God's problem. The problem of evil is man's problem, which he brought upon himself at the temptation of the evil one from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Man's fall into sin is found in Genesis chapter 3. The origin of evil and sin with man, began by man, is found in Genesis 3. Now, sometime before that, the first entrance of sin and evil into the universe, into existence itself, came from Satan. We read that in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, and Ezekiel 28, and we looked at those scriptures, Ezekiel 28, 11 through 19, and then Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. But we are looking at man's fall into sin. And we notice that man was tempted first to sin. God allowed Adam and Eve to be tempted by Satan through the serpent to prove whether they would make the supreme consecration of their free will to the will of God in loving obedience to Him, or to step away and turn their backs on Him by exercising their self-will in disobeying His revealed will, God's will. We saw that the temptation Satan threw at Eve and then Adam, because Eve was first tempted, corresponds to how the fallen world system is run today, according to 1 John 2:15 through 17. That would be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Each of these three avenues appealed to man in his triune components, making his being up. First, we have the temptation to the body. That was the lust of the flesh. Our first parents saw the tree was good for food. That appealed to the lust of the flesh, the physical body. Secondly, the temptation to the soul occurred with the lust of the eyes. The tree was pleasant to their eyes. Third, Satan's temptation in the Garden of Eden also appealed to the spirit called the pride of life. We are told the tree was desired to make one wise, making them as gods, knowing good and evil. So man was tempted in all three things, as mentioned in 1 John 12:15 and 17. Thus, when man fell into sin, he fell in body, soul, and spirit, committing sins of the body, sins of the soul, and sins of the spirit, and thus was produced the total depravity of man. Every temptation you and I face from our fallen nature and from Satan and his demonic forces will appeal to us in these three areas. We'll seek to get us to sin with our body, with our souls, and with our spirits. With our bodies, with our souls, and with our spirits. Now, the way Satan was tempted and fell into sin, and the way mankind was later tempted by Satan, is kind of the reverse. Let me explain. Lucifer, who was an angelic being, was tempted to sin from within himself. Sin began in him when he became lifted up in pride while viewing his God-given attributes, thinking more highly of himself than he should. He coveted God's position and set his will against God's in rebellion. The beginning of man's sin is the opposite. The temptation of to sin came to Adam and Eve from without, outside of themselves. Lucifer appealed first to the external part of man's being, enticing him to covet what was not rightfully his. This lust led to pride, which led to self-will against God's will. For Lucifer, his sin began with pride, lust, and self-will, while for man it began with lust, pride, and ending in self-will. Remember when we examined the nature of Satan's sin comprising of several parts? I believe that was some time ago. It included covetousness, pride, and so forth. Well, when Adam and Eve fell in Genesis, as recorded in Genesis 3, the first part of their temptation involved lust. It involved the lust of the eyes. And that is in Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the women saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she then took the fruit. The serpent's temptations were aimed at God-given instincts within man. Satan always seeks, remember this, the devil always seeks to exploit, the devil always seeks to exploit and pervert these basic laws of man's being. There are good desires, there are wrong desires. God has given man five basic instincts which he follows. First of all, we have the law of self-preservation, enabling man to take care of himself. We have the law of self-acquisition, which enables man to acquire the necessities of life for self-support. Third, the law of self-sustenance, that is the instinct to find forage for food, to perpetuate our biological life. Then we have the law of self-propagation. This is the procreation instinct by which men and women come together to produce children. That falls under God's creation mandate for married men and women to be fruitful and multiply in the earth. Lastly, we have the law of self-assertion, whereby man can subdue and have dominion over the earth. When we go back to Genesis 3, we see that Satan's initial temptation was aimed at the body when he showed the woman that the tree was good for food. It wasn't a desire of it was an appeal to the desire of the flesh, which was a God-given and lawful appetite, turned into a self-centered desire and appetite. And the reason why this is so is because the desire could be satisfied on any other tree, but not on the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The temptation of the devil was therefore designed to make man covet or lust that which God had forbidden. And that is one twisted aspect of sin, to desire or covet that which is forbidden. Adultery is the desire to have another man's wife or another woman's husband. It is a perverted desire. The desire to covet after another man's possessions and steal them from him is a forbidden and sinful desire. So the temptation to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of tree of the knowledge of good and evil was an exploitation or perversion of a God-given instinct, a law of man's very being. Satan, through the serpent, kept tempting Eve to break God's commandments. And he did so by questioning the veracity of God's law and God's word. And folks, that's where every sin begins. The deliberate violation of God's law and God's word. Through commission or omission, sin is manifest by the act of committing a wrong or the failure to act in a right way. Note here that the serpent twisted the word of God, denied its veracity, and remove the penalty for its transgression. And by doing that, he deceived Eve. And you see the same thing going on today in our fallen world. People denying the Word of God's people denying that the Word of God is literally true and relevant for each of our lives. People then denying that to pursue a sinful course of life will bring down God's punishment. They will tell you it's okay to commit fornication. They will tell you it's okay to lie to get ahead. They will tell you, hey, it's okay to murder the unborn baby because, after all, that will impose a great inconvenience on your life. People will tell you it's okay to be a homosexual because, after all, love is what really matters. These are all lies coming from the mouth of the serpent to twist and pervert God's word, so that sin and disobedience against God may be validated. And it is the work of the devil, you can be sure. Going back to the very beginning when he did this very thing in the Garden of Eden. Another aspect to the fall of man into sin was not only the lust of the eyes. Adam and Eve, or Eve, saw that the tree was good for food, but that it was pleasant to the eyes, and it appealed to the pride of man. By eating of this fruit, one could become as God. One could become like or as God, knowing good and evil. Genesis 3:4. Satan told her, well, no, if you disobey God and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you surely shall not die. Satan further emboldened by Eve's susceptibility to his temptation, brazenly then spoke a direct lie, contradicting the word of God. This lie, this satanic lie, then led her and Adam to spiritual death when they disobeyed God. In Genesis 4, when Satan says to Eve, the woman, you surely shall not die, he is baldly contradicting the word of God. without subtlety, without craftiness. And he is not doing this tacitly or indirectly. He is explicitly and brazenly contradicting the word of God when he tells Eve, when you break God's commandment and eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you surely shall not die. So here Satan lied to Eve so that she could sin against God and death would ensue. That's why Satan here, when he is first introduced in the biblical narrative, is later called a liar and a murderer by Jesus in John 8:44. Because what he does is lie so that he may kill or murder people physically and spiritually, and that's what he did in the beginning with our parents Adam and Eve. Now, let's be careful not adopt what I call a Flip Wilson theology. Remember, he impersonated the lady Flo, or Florence, I believe, and she would say, "The devil made me do it." The devil didn't make Adam and Eve sin. He merely put it out there for them with a lie, contradicting the scripture, that they could have all this for themselves. They chose to fall into that sin. Nothing more, nothing less. So when the devil comes and tempts you, beloved, and tempts me, and we sin, as we will do until we die, because we will not be delivered from the presence of sin until we have our glorified risen bodies. But when Satan comes and tempts us, we do so of our own free will. The temptation of Adam and Eve, resulting in the fall of mankind, involved that which rose out of inordinate desire, pride. Satan's statement, "You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil," was an appeal to man's ego. And if you take any world religion outside of the Judeo-Christian faith based upon the scriptures, God's word from Genesis to Revelation, they all have this same satanic lie, this desire that if you follow the Eightfold Path, if you follow the five pillars of Islam, if you seek enlightenment through meditation and so forth, you will become one with God, you will become divine, you will become as God. This is the same lie, and this is the same lie that Lucifer threw out at the beginning. And it is the same lie he uses today that he laces through these world religions. Judaism and Christianity do not promise man divinity in the end. All the other world religions, well, Islam could be accepted, I guess, here. Those three monotheistic religions do not promise man will become God. "You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil," Lucifer through the serpent said to Eve. It was an appeal to her pride, exploiting the law of self-assertion, where man can subdue and have dominion over the earth, the animal world, and the elements. "You can be like the Most High God," though the implication here, when Lucifer said that to Eve, was you don't need God because you will be God once you take from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The enormity of this sin was not so much in taking the fruit from the tree. You know, there are some obtuse critics of the Bible who accuse God of being overreactionary, because all Adam and Eve did was just eat, you know, fruit from some tree he didn't want them to eat. Well, that's not the point. The point is that sin is disobedience to God, period. It doesn't matter how big or how small. In the end, sin is, by its nature, disobedience to God. And this is what they did. They knew better, but they did not do better. They knew what to do, they did not do it, and they did the exact opposite. So in the first sin of our parents, our first parents, our federal head, Adam and his wife Eve, they committed the two things that make up sin. They committed the act of commission by actively taking the fruit from the tree, which God forbid them to do, and they failed by omission to refrain from committing this sin. And so we move on. The temptation that Satan gave to Eve appealed to her and Adam to gain wisdom and knowledge, which they did not have, and which was explicitly forbidden by the law of God. Then self-will exerted itself in Adam and Eve's sin. After they were enticed by the serpent, the final step of their sin was expressed by an independent and deliberate act of the will in rebellion against God. This was the whole purpose of Satan's temptation. Though all temptation is aimed at spirit, soul, and body, or the all points of man's being, the act of sin being self-will, which was Satan's aim, was to get to the will of man. He wanted to get Adam and Eve to exercise their self-will against God's will, to exercise their will independently of God. Satan, we discovered, fell through self-will, and so did Adam. Adam and Eve exercised their free will in a wrong way. They both made the choice to disobey God's revealed will, God's law, and God's word. They deliberately and knowingly disobeyed God's law and God's word. God's word is His will, and His will is His word. So people who say, well, I really don't know what God's will is, Christians, believers, they need to go to the Scriptures. And some would exploit that, critics of the Bible, and say, well, I guess God's will then is that we should stone people today and we should not mix our field with differing seeds and so forth. Well, there are certain things in God's Word that are no longer normative today, because you have to read those commands in their context. That was given under a different dispensation, under a different covenant. Now, does that mean there is no practical value to those expired laws or rules? No, not at all. We can have practical value in those things. For instance, the sowing of the field with different seeds teaches us that we need to be discerning and discriminate between good and evil. No, we don't go around and stone people today. We're not under the old covenant. God was simply saying that these sins carry a tremendous penalty with them, that they kill and they destroy in the end. And we should avoid them that we may live in His sight. So God's law and God's word, this is what Adam chose to knowingly and flagrantly disobey. God's will is His word, and God's word is His will, and His will is His word. His word is also law. The law of God covers Genesis through Revelation, not just the first five books of Moses known as Torah or instruction. But in the Garden of Eden, a man acting in the person of Adam and Eve chose to be independent of God, to be selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, to be a law unto himself, that is, to be lawless, paradoxically enough, to deify himself, to follow self-will, and thus choose death for himself and for the entire unborn human race in his loins. Romans 5, 12 through 21, Psalm 51, 5, and Romans 7, 14 through 24 illustrates this. And that is how sinful man is today. He is born with a corrupt, sinful nature that he, and really all of us, inherited from Adam and Eve when they sinned. We sinned in Adam because we were in his loins. We were seminally present there. But This is what sin does. It seeks to be independent of God, to reject His word as the rule for all, as the rule for our life. We seek to be our own gods. We seek to be a law unto ourselves, and we have arrived today at our fallen civilization. The reason, one of the reasons why this country is in such moral shambles and getting worse is because the government and the people, by and large, have made the choice to be selfish, rebellious, and to reject God's word as the supreme rule of life and faith. They want to do it on their own. Frank Sinatra's song, "I Did It My Way," epitomizes the credo, the declaration of the sinner living apart and independently from God. But in doing so, he has cut himself off. He has unplugged himself from the source of eternal life, and therefore he abides in death. A death which began, the process of death, the reality of death began when Adam and Eve chose to sin against God in the Garden of Eden. Keep in mind, Adam and Eve did not originate sin, but fell into it by a deliberate choice to disobey God. And the seat of sin is in the misuse of free will. Free will, per se, is not sinful. But the misuse of free will is sinful. Now let's talk about temptation in regards to the will, or the law of God, which is the Word of God. The Word of God was spoken to Adam and Eve. It wasn't given on stone like the Ten Commandments were given to Israel, written by the hand of God. The Word of God wasn't written to Adam and Eve in the Scriptures or the Bible that we have today. Now, that event is historically recorded in the Word of God, but what I'm saying is they heard and they saw God face to face give them this law that they were not to partake of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They heard God speak it face to face with them, because we are told that in the evening of the day, God would walk in the garden in the cool of the day. And I believe that was a Christophany. That was the Lord Jesus Christ coming down, fellowship with Adam and Eve. And no doubt, He, acting as the second person of the Godhead, three persons in the Godhead, gave them this law from His Father that they were not to eat of the tree. They were not to eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did. This was the only prohibition, by the way, given by God in Genesis 2:17. It was God's word, His law, His commandment, His revealed will. So when the devil tells Eve that if you disobey God's law on this point, you won't die, this was a direct assault and a direct contradiction by Satan the lawless one on the law of God that man was placed under. To break that one law, which Adam and Eve did, was to break all laws. Because the nature of sin, no matter if it's lying or murder, is the same in the end. It produces disobedience, separation, and alienation from God. Remember what James 2:10 says. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. And theoretically, you could keep all the commandments of God's law. In the Torah, rabbis have counted it up, and it's 613 commandments. You could keep all those laws, hypothetically. Yet if your heart and mind is not right, if it's filled with lust and anger and hatred, if it's filled with self-righteousness, in that you want people to see how you're obeying the law to puff you up, you've already broken the spirit of the law, even though outwardly and physically you've conformed to the law. If you do not obey the law with a pure intent of the heart and mind, you've still disobeyed it, although theoretically you may have obeyed it perfectly on the outside. Jesus made that point clear in the Sermon on the Mount, which He spoke in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. But Adam sinned when he and his wife transgressed the one law. As 1 John 3:4 declares, sin is transgression of the law. Sin is transgression of the law. And so we will continue next time with how man's descent into sin in the Garden of Eden was comprised and always does comprise the violation and disobedience of God's law, His word, His commandment. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.